Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. We're also on YouTube, youtube.com/TheAvengers. We have react videos of the new Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special trailer and Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania trailer. So check it out. See us react to those trailers. More trailer reacts on the way. youtube.com/TheAvengers. You can also find us wherever podcasts are available. Hey, congrats. You found us if you're listening to us. And at AvengersPodcast.com, where we have all kinds of merch. Stickers, mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, hats. AvengersPodcast.com for all your merch needs. If you'd like to support the show, you want to keep this show going, you're like, yeah, you know what? I like these guys. I want them to continue. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have exclusive content only available on our Patreon. We have $1, $3, $5, and $10 tiers available. Check it out today for shout outs, access to our Discord, watch parties, and exclusive episodes not found anywhere else. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Man, that's a mouthful, guys. I'm just one of your hosts, Brandon. I can't do it alone. Emmy, what the hell are you doing?
I was tugging the mic, you know? Just a tug in the mic.
Just tug in the mic. Clinton, how are you doing?
I'm wet.
Oh, speaking of
what? That's what I was going to say, but he didn't ask me how I was. What I was doing.
Guys, speaking of which, we have three new patrons. Three new patrons. Before Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, to thank our three new patrons. Isaiah Diaz. Marcus, Marcus, you said I was going to butcher it, and you're right. And Dunderstorm. Dunderstorm, Marcus, Isaiah. Thank you guys so much for joining the Patreon. Patreon.com.
I see what you did there, Dunderstorm.
I like it.
Like thunder.
Oh, speaking of, guys. Guys, we are here reviewing Black Panther Wakanda Forever. If you have not watched this movie yet, spoilers ahead. We are going to spoil it right away. We'll give some generic thoughts, but we'll probably spoil it in those generic thoughts as well. So it's the new movie by Marvel Studios. We're excited to talk about it, but we don't want it spoiled for you. So please do not listen any further right now. We don't want you to hear. So, spoilers, here you go. This is your warning. If you keep crossing, if you are listening still, it's going to be spoiled for you. Or you've already seen the movie, which you're awesome. So, glad. Guys, I'm excited to talk about this one. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I know for a fact this has been one at the top of our list. And this is wrapping up phase four. Can you believe we're done? We are done with an entire phase of Marvel. Did that kind of sink in when you were watching it at all, Emmy?
No, not at all. And now that you said it, holy cow, because it started with WandaVision.
Sure did. It sure did. It started with WandaVision, started there, and now the end of phase four with Wakanda Forever. This is cool. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to start out. What a great end to phase four. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. What a fitting and beautiful tribute both to the character of T'Challa and Black Panther, but also Chadwick Boseman, the man, the human being. And there's times where it just felt so raw and real because it was, you know, and it felt what I enjoyed about this movie is how everything was stacked against it. Everything. We've heard all the online reports. We obviously see what happened or heard what happened with Chadwick and his untimely passing. If you go back, you can listen to an old podcast of us reacting to his passing because we were reviewing all 23 of the original Marvel Cinematic Universe Infinity Saga movies. In the middle of that, we heard that Chadwick passed. And it hit us all different, and it still hits. In this movie, there's just times where there's so much impact in this movie, but yet they could have just, and I mean this with all due respect, they could have just rested on that. But what they ended up doing was telling an amazing, emotional, and compelling story with Shuri as well, and with the Kingdom of Wakanda. And I'm just absolutely blown away. I think it was such a great movie. I enjoyed it, and I thought the storytelling was off the charts. To me, how did they do it? I think praise to everyone who worked on this movie and continued to make it work. Namor is a wonderful, I don't know if villain's the right word. Adversary, maybe. I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie. I really enjoyed the storytelling. I enjoyed the character development. Angela Bassett, holy shit. She had some of my favorite lines in this movie. Hey, we got Ironheart. So much good stuff. Guys, we're going to dive deep. We're not going to go scene by scene because, just to be perfectly honest, we were in a movie theater. We can't take notes. We can't see what we're doing, but we're going to still dive into our favorite parts and all that fun stuff. So we have time, but I'm just going to say, blown away, amazing movie. What a cap to Phase 4, a great fitting end to Phase 4, and I'm so excited about the future of this series still, and these characters, and this country, and this nation, and yeah, Wakanda forever. Damn right it is. Wakanda forever. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Amy, you next, my friend. What did you think of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever?
I thought that it was a great movie. It was a great tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And to your point, too, I think in the beginning of the movie, they really gave tribute to Black Panther, the character. And then towards the end, it was more of a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And I enjoyed that they differentiated it. Cried both times. The use of silence in that was incredible and almost super embarrassing for me, because whenever I get that emotional, I make noises. And like, I was close to that point and the movie theater was completely silent.
And the silent part, you're talking about the Marvel Studios logo being completely quiet through a Chadwick Boseman opening.
Yes.
Correct.
Which was amazing. And we haven't seen that before. We saw that with Stan Lee, correct?
I don't think it was completely silent though, but yes.
No, it wasn't silent. No. But yeah. And then the silence again, whenever they show all of the Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, like that was once again, one of the moments where I just completely choked up. It held a lot of surprises that I did not know about. And I was so glad I didn't know about them prior. And they didn't one off the villain. I was scared for a second that they were going to. I was scared they were going to kill off Shuri for a second. The humor hit fantastic. Riri Williams was one of my favorite parts of this movie. She did such a great job, such a great introduction. But I can't only give it praise, because I did think that it was a little bit long. And I do have some gripes and or questions that need to be answered. Or some things that I just didn't completely love. But other than that, I mean, it did everything that it needed to. And then some. And I liked, this is side note, I liked seeing the technology come so far for Wakanda, because that's a big piece of their story. And it has come so far in since we've seen them last. But yeah, it was good. I liked it.
We got two goods. Clinton, take us out of here, man. What did you think of Wakanda Forever? Definitely curious to hear your thoughts.
I was really disappointed if it was opposite day.
I knew you were lying. I knew you. There's no way you watched the same movie. There's no way. I would fight you the whole time.
This movie with, I can't lie, I had high expectations, but then I have that like burnt side of me for this year for the year of 2022 with Marvel movies. So I was like, don't want to get my hopes up too much because I don't know. It was kind of like this, but I was floored by this movie. There are so many different things in it that, and I didn't watch a lot for the first time. I didn't watch a lot of trailers for this movie. Because I wanted to go into this pretty surprised. I didn't want anything leaked to me. I tried to be careful tiptoeing on social media. That's why I wanted to go Thursday night. And the musical scores in this movie, again, mm-hmm. I mean, they delivered in the first one, but this one, the cultural representations they showed, not only mm-hmm. for Wakanda, but for, what's it called? The city, that underwater city. It's not Atlantis. Someone's yelling at the, and I freaking had it in my head before we started.
Tuchiklan.
No, that was Kukulkan. Is the
they didn't rhyme?
No, it's
Kukulkan from Tuchiklan.
Starts with a T. anyway, the way they handled that, representing that culture, and then the music that would accompany it with like Spanish music, and then you had, you know, the classic Wakandan sound. I don't know. I love the cultural representation, the music scores. I think they handled Chadwick's passing with such grace mm-hmm. because his presence was felt through the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because the whole movie was the struggle of, Shuri finding herself mm-hmm. because she was so torn emotionally with his passing, and the grieving was hard for her. So we got to see her grieving process, but the whole time we're still very aware of Chadwick because of that. And the beginning ceremony, the way mm-hmm. they show him pass in the, they don't show him, but the way they did it at first, I was a little caught off guard. And I was like, my comic brain was like, this is the Black Panther. He, a disease. But then I thought, you know what? They are honoring even his personal life. Like, this mm-hmm. is how he passed, was this way.
Exactly.
So they didn't even make it. They didn't fluff it, which I really appreciate.
It wasn't.
I thought it was.
Ooh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Clinton. I got chills when you were talking, and I apologize because I think you're spot on. Yes, like exactly. Like it's not like he died in battle. It's not like this heroic. He had an illness, and like obviously mm-hmm. they don't go into detail, but it's still, you know what I mean. It's not like. Well said. Well said. Sorry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked that. I didn't expect it, and I don't know what I expected with that. I don't know if they were even going to mention it. I wanted to know if they would mention it. But I didn't want it to be like, oh, he in battle. But I didn't know what they were going to do. So I really appreciate it. I thought it was respectful to the family. I think the way the movie ends with a post-credit scene is really a duality of how to carry on the legacy and not replace the actor, but still have mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. character was smart to me because I think mm-hmm. it pleases the family wanted him recast, right? And then they said they weren't going to. I think it was a good in-between. This movie really... I want to watch it again because it hit on all cylinders for me. I didn't personally think it was too long. I wanted more. I wanted more I was really invested in the story. I didn't have to have all the action in this movie. I didn't have to have a bunch. I really liked watching the unraveling of emotion. And I think Letitia Wright nailed the role.
Well said. Well said, both of you. I mean, God... bless. I absolutely loved it. We're going to dive deeper into our thoughts and get to more of our praises and some nitpicks from our friend Emmy or questions. We're not sure yet. So we're going to dive into all that. But before we do, we are going to get to our favorite critics in the entire world. Rotten Tomatoes. Emmy, what are we? I'm assuming you want us to guess on the Rotten Tomato front.
Duh.
So I am going to say this. I saw an ad that was like 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I kind of got a little spoiled there and I apologize, but I still don't think that's accurate because that was very early on and they usually change and they usually, I would give this a 9 out of 10. So I'm going to say 90% is where I'm going to land on this.
Okay. Okay.
The city is Talokan, by the way. I looked. I'm sorry. I already know.
Oh, shit.
What did you look and see?
When I saw it, it was at 86 or 84.
Oh, wow. It's dropped. Okay.
Critics. And then...
Critics, 85.
Audience. Oh, so it was...
Yeah. Right in the middle.
Dead in between. And audiences?
It was 94 when I looked at it.
95 from audiences.
Good shit, audiences.
Nice.
Fuck hell yeah. What a great movie.
I am... That bitch gave it a 7.4.
Fuck off, IMDb.
I don't, at this point with them, I'm just...
They live up to their namesake.
Next review.
Yep.
Yeah. What's next?
What's our friends at Google say?
87% of Google users liked this movie, and it had a working title of Motherland.
Oh, good working title.
I get it.
I get it, too.
Is that a mothership? Right.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. So, we're going to dive deep into this one. Guys, obviously, you know, just to touch base, obviously the movie opens up and we're not going in chronological order, but yes, the silent tribute and just the honoring of their king, but also the fact that Letitia's character of Shuri is trying to save his life at the beginning.
Letitia, first of all.
I thought it was Letitia. I apologize.
That might be. I was just...
God, being a dick. I thought
it was Letitia, too.
You're a dick. Anyway,
Letitia.
Tell us in the comments below.
But we do know what is right. Her last name.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to talk about the movie, Clinton, and this is a very emotional scene. So, all right. So she's trying to save his life. Shuri is really, that's where I was shocked how this movie opened up.
Jumps
how
it in.
Starts, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, okay, we're going to, you know, like he's already passed or something and they've honored, like, I didn't expect it. Like he's passing. Like his heart rate is going down. I mean, and immediately, like, I'm like, oh fuck. It reminded me, and don't get me wrong, this is, I think it hit even harder than what I'm about to compare it to. But it reminded me of Infinity War. Like right at the beginning, you know, as Guardians are getting bombed by Thanos, you know, like the ship is taking over, you know, and like it's, you hear the war cries of a ship, and it's immediately like, oh, this is not fun, Marvel Studios. Let's, you know, it's like okay, it's real. It's hitting you. Slow the fuck down. Mm-hmm. And this felt more than that, obviously because Chadwick Boseman, but also the character that we've grown to love as well as T'Challa, he's dying. I mean, he's fucking dying. And his sister is frantically looking for the heart-shaped herb. Kind of, like, how can she make and replicate this to bring him back to life and to heal him? And she's late. She's not there. She doesn't make it. And to feel that semblance of responsibility that you're feeling so heavy because, you know, and I don't know if she ever named her AI, I apologize, but she was like, what's his heartbeat? Like after her mother walks in and is like, he's passed. I mean, just her face.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love her word choice here. She doesn't say he's gone. He's passed. She says he's with the ancestors.
Yeah.
And I love that word choice
because that's a very it does good kind point. Of,
come back like it
comes full circle in a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a celebration after the passing, because mm-hmm. they believe in an afterlife and they believe it's a celebration in the culture to go with the ancestors.
And that cultural representation of that funeral scene
was gorgeous.
Awesome. Yeah. It was amazing.
When it jumps into this at the beginning, it jumps you right into the emotion because it's not just, and we're fans, right? We didn't know Chadwick Boseman, but can you imagine filming this with your co-stars who have known this man and talk about how great he was? Like it just as a fan of him watching this scene, and I know he's passed now for what, 2 years now, but it's like, I wasn't thinking Black Panther. I was like, Chadwick Boseman, like they make you feel like he's still in the building in this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and because they are jumping to him, he's passing now, and so you're immediately on edge. You're like, oh my gosh, we're going hard into this. Like you're gonna feel the feels here.
Well said.
And so my brain is just like, oh man, it just took me back,
you right, you
know,
back
to getting the news.
Cause we all were, yes, you're exactly right, Clint. We didn't know Chadwick Boseman. We're not pretending we knew him, but we knew this character that we grew and loved. And we also knew the man and the philanthropy and the work he did outside.
And the impact he had.
Yeah. So it brought all those emotions back and right to the forefront. And it's just, I don't know. I'm still just kind of blown away how they did it, and yet so beautifully and eloquently, but also how raw and real. It's. I don't know, man. I kudos to and I know they had to run this by the family too, and I'm like sure. It was just so fucking beautiful. I mean, it hurt. It hurt again. The feeling of Chadwick's passing, like all passings, yes, it still lingers, but the hurt came right back, really strong again. That same hurt we felt 2 years ago, it was there all over again. And to replicate that, but not feel forced and you know what I mean? Like it's
hokey. Just, they right. didn't do it in a hokey
they
way.
They didn't yeah. do it. I didn't.
Felt organic.
Exactly. That's a great word for it. It felt very organic. And I was just, I don't know, man. It what a fucking, what a way to open the movie. You know, what? And obviously you got my attention. Holy shit. And especially done that well.
The name of Shuri's AI is Griot or Griot. And it's actually voiced by Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah, yeah.
I didn't know.
Mental I love note too. Trevor Noah. Oh. God, I love Trevor Noah. I didn't know that. So who voiced him.
But to the point that you guys were talking about while I was Googling that, the scene where they're walking down the street and Ramonda looks up and sees the painting I think that actually really got me because it was like, this is the only way that we can see his face in this movie without it being a flashback or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it hit me so hard. And that was one of the points where I started to just like tear up a lot, and her seeing it, but Shuri being so, her hood's down and she's looking down and just like, I can't take any of this in. It was two different reactions to the death, and it was,
and I want to touch base on that. That's a really good point there, Amy. Yeah. Where there was two different reactions to the death, but there was also two different reactions to the grieving as well. And I was really impressed with this side of things. And maybe I'm looking too far into it, and you guys can say, Brandon, reel it back a little. But where Angela Bassett's character, obviously Ramonda, and Letitia Wright's Shuri, they're battling, like, he's passed, and Ramonda, the Queen Ramonda, is literally saying, I feel him in the wind. I sense his presence. I know he's with us. And Shuri's like, psh, you know, that's just a construct of your mind. You know what I mean? Like, we have a science and fact-based person, and we also have a faith and spiritual cultural person grieving with death. And they showed that. They were not, like, the thing is, Shuri was just not, like, a lackey to Queen Ramonda. And like, yeah, you know, no, I felt him in the wind, too. Or, I want to feel him in the wind. You know, it was just like, no, that's just a, like, holy shit. I was shocked how the phases of grief, but also the way people process grief for those who are not religious as well. I mean, Shuri's very smart. She's a very science fact-based person. And so it makes sense that her grieving would follow in that line.
And it's someone so close to her that impacted her so heavily. So it's not just like, I'm not going to play into tradition with this. I'm hurting. He's gone, and we don't have him here. He's not here.
Right.
And that was kind of her driving force for the whole movie of how she handled things up until she goes to the ancestral plane herself. But,
sure did.
And the way that's handled is amazing. We'll get there. But
can't wait for that. Yeah.
I love. Yeah, Brandon, I'm glad you brought it up. I wanted to bring that up, too. It's just seeing the duality, like the two sides of it, I guess, of how people handle grief. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to piggyback off of a point that Clinton made earlier about how the death of T'Challa mirrored losing Chadwick Boseman in real life, and how it was an illness that took him, but also that it seems like it was mirrored, and also the fact that they hid it from public for so long.
Wow, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And I didn't think of it until Clinton said that, but like it seems like Shuri probably would have started on this a long time ago had she known that something was going on, but she didn't. And so that just kind of mirrors the fact that, like, I mean, he was filming.
It was sudden.
He was filming, was it Infinity War? And people, like, said something about him losing weight.
It was another.
Like, nobody knew.
Infinity War, Endgame. I know there was another movie as well. And, like, everyone was like, and I remember, and this is horrible to say, please know these were this, but this was a real thing. People on social media, Twitter especially, were really hammering Chadwick because he was very gaunt before he passed. He was very, you could tell. And people were saying, is he on drugs? What's going on? And, and instead.
Because he was doing Zoom interviews.
Yes. And this man.
Oh, yeah.
This man is dying in front of our eyes, and we don't even know it. And our first reaction is just to literally say, what the fuck's wrong with him? Instead of, can we help? Are you okay? And it's such a fucking hard and very, I hope it reminds people, and most people it won't, but I hope some people it does, that you don't know what people are fucking dealing with. Take the time to ask if you're okay. Are you okay? Should be the question, not, What's wrong with you? Yeah. What's wrong with him? Do you see him? Look at him. He's different. He looks different. He's obviously different. He's doing something. Instead of, hey, are you okay? What's going on? How can I help? Please. I'd like to be here. And anyway, but you're exactly right. I think that's a really good contrast, Amy, where, yeah, because you know Shuri would be working on this day and night to get it right. And she doesn't have that opportunity. It's a very frantic thing. So it's an illness that was just sprung up on her. You know, and I'm sure that's a Ryan Coogler decision. I'm sure that's a Letitia Wright decision. I'm sure that's the cast of Black Panther who wanted to illustrate how it felt to be told, hey, our brother, someone who means the world to us, he's gone. And we don't have time to bring him back. We don't have time to say goodbye. I don't know how many people on this cast, I would assume not much because he was very private about it, got to actually say goodbye to their brother and got to say goodbye to someone who meant so much to them. And it felt like this frantic, what do I do? I got to do, and you can't.
I'm going to fix it, yeah.
And anyway. So we are going to switch gears there, where obviously we talked about the stages of grief, but we also talk about the mantle of Black Panther is no longer, and that's a big focal point in this movie, is there's no heart-shaped herb. If you obviously watched the very first Black Panther with Eric Killmonger, he burned all the heart-shaped herb. There's no more left. There's no way to replicate that, the king and the powers of the Black Panther. And so, you know, and we see also people are coming after the vibranium. It's a pretty big attack on Wakanda. And I love Queen Ramonda here. She goes, rest assured, we are not weak. Though we have lost our king does not mean we are on our backs. We are just, you know, you can roll all over us. And just what a powerful message to send to the world and to the, I think it was France and the United States.
And she walks in that room, first of all.
God, she looked fucking amazing. Oh, my. Just
owns it and sits down. And then France tries to go in on her and she's, and then they bring in the guard. I love the way they did this too, because
so good.
While she's talking, they show that we cut over to when they're trying to invade Wakanda.
Yes. And get yes.
Vibranium.
And I just thought
it, the soldiers, and then they just bring them in. And so she's basically telling that story and like, we have the guards, and brings them in. I was like, okay, well, she's just gonna, the France representative said nothing after that. Like,
so well done. So well done. Great description there, Clinton. Cause I really thought they just cut to it. And I was like, oh, that was short lived with that.
Yeah, no. Me too.
I was like, oh, it was good. I love the way. And if you probably are a little lost, if you haven't watched the movie, watch the movie, because it is, they do a flashback while it's happening and it goes in with her talking, and it just, ooh, I loved it. Ooh, it was so fucking good. Oh, enjoyed it.
When Okoye walks out of the shadows.
Okoye, God, another.
Like, get his ass.
There it is.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Fucking fuck some shit up, girl. Come on.
There it is.
And she's just casually having a conversation during that. She's like, what are you holding?
She's such
and
a
And the girl has the two little daggers.
Yes.
By themselves.
The woman. Yeah, the two little daggers. And Okoye's like, but we were given the spears, like this is the thing that we're supposed to be using. And then the I can't remember her name, but she walks by and says, I told you not to bring them.
Yeah.
I think it's I think it's Ayo or Io.
Yes, who was also in,
she was in the very
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yes, thank you.
She was in Falcon and Winter Soldier. She was in the very first Captain America Civil War. You know, like I remember her as a guard there.
Yeah.
She was way back in the very first when they showed the Dora Milaje escorting King T'Challa. It was T'Challa too.
Like, was it T'Challa?
It was T'Challa.
T'Challa and T'Chaka.
I just absolutely loved that. And so it was just, I don't know, so damn good. Enjoyed it. What a badass moment. And basically saying, hey, our king is gone, but our kingdom stands. Quit. Don't fuck with us. And I just love the message. I loved how it was just, I don't know, it was just really, really great. Really, really good stuff. So, yeah, guys, I know I've talked about a few things. Anything, any scenes that stick out at you that you want to go into?
Well, since you brought up Ramonda, the fact, her performance in this, Angela Bassett did so phenomenal. The way that she looks, the way that she holds her mouth is so regal and queenly. Like, I would bow to that. That is a fucking queen.
The way she holds amazing. Her mouth.
Yeah, the way she holds it, it's just regal. I don't know. The way that she holds her mouth just seems so posh to me. She's
interesting.
That was what I noticed during the movie. But like, she's like, everything has been taken from me, but I'm still gonna fucking stand up for my shit. Fuck you guys. I'm strong. Go, Brandon.
Angela Bassett was my favorite in this movie. I loved Queen Ramonda. I know Letitia Wright, Okoye, there were some damn good people. Riri, I know, don't get me wrong, but Angela Bassett stole this movie for one scene alone for me. It was when Okoye lost Shuri, and Okoye had to answer to Queen Ramonda. And I'm getting chills even talking about it. I know I say I have chills a lot, but this is just good fucking storytelling, so I don't care.
Somebody get him a fucking blanket.
Give me a fucking blanket. But I needed a blanket very, because Okoye walks in after losing Shuri, and I know we're jumping everywhere. Like I said, guys, we didn't take notes. We just watched the movie and we're giving our raw thoughts. But Okoye, after losing Shuri, is walking in and trying to basically say, hey, let's go get her. Let's get her back, you know, and the queen essentially, and I was on Okoye's side. I was like, yeah, get her back. Everything's going to be great. You're going to go underwater. You're going to get Shuri. Everything's going to be great. And I was kind of on Okoye's side going into the argument. Like, as a viewer, I could feel myself. I was like, you know, Team Okoye, let's go. And when Queen Ramonda says, I have given up, like, she's like, I have given up more than anybody. I've lost my husband. I have lost my son. You've now lost my daughter. I'm done. And like, strips her of everything. And I can't even remember the words that were said. I really can't, but I remember just my whole body just completely just almost, I felt flush because I almost felt like I was being talked down to. I felt like I had disappointed the queen. I felt like I just, as a viewer, I was like, holy fuck. Holy fuck. It was just great acting, great storytelling. It was just spine chilling. Do not tell me I have not given up this for this kingdom. I have given up more than anybody, and I will not give up any longer. You are going to be held accountable. You are stripped of your title. I'm done with this. Get her out. And it didn't.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I missed the majority of that conversation. That's the one spot I had to go pee in the movie.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't that, because it didn't start when I left to go to the bathroom. It was when it flashed to Ross on the bridge looking at everything that happened. And I was like, this will be a good time. I'm going to go pee. And then I come back and they're in the middle of that. And I was damn it.
It hit. That was my favorite scene of the entire movie. Because
Ross on the bridge looking at everything that had happened.
Because he grabbed the beads. He grabbed Shuri's beads. That's the crash.
The damage from that fight on the bridge.
Yeah, motorcycle. Or not the motorcycle, the car, and then But yeah, that scene stole everything to me. And those two are so damn good on the screen together, Okoye and Ramonda. And I just, to this day, I don't know. It was just fucking wonderful. It was just fucking wonderful. And Clinton, I implore you, I know you left in the middle, see this movie again just to sit in
I'm going to.
I just wish you could have seen it in that moment, because it was just such...
I saw the tail end of it. I saw some of the stuff Ramonda was saying. I didn't get the beginning of it.
Oh, it was so good. I can't do it justice, obviously, replaying it back, especially with little notes. But it was just so fucking great. And Angela Bassett, my God, what an incredible gift to the acting world. Mm-hmm. She did so fucking good.
I wonder if Okoye felt better, like, when Shuri recruited her again. Was it Shuri or was it
Nakia,
who came to her? Because she even then was like still hesitant to, like, I'm not taking on this. I was stripped of my title.
She said, yeah, like, I'm a civilian now.
I honestly can't remember who.
I can't remember either. I feel like it was.
I think it was Okoye.
No, Okoye was who got recruited.
Nakia.
I think it was Nakia, too. It makes more sense story-wise for it to be Nakia, because she was on the outside. She didn't know what happened. She didn't realize, and she also knows Okoye's heart. And so,
yeah, but Shuri had stepped up at that point because Ramonda was gone.
Yeah, that's true, too. Oh, I could see that, too. Shit. Someone.
I don't remember.
Let us know.
Which it was.
Guys, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, let us know, please. We're going to forget details. We apologize.
Put a spoiler warning first, though.
Yes, please. Spoiler warning before you tweet us.
I want to say it was Shuri, because she was trying to entice her with that ugly-ass suit.
Oh, that's a good point.
That suit looks like reminded me of a Pharah suit from Overwatch.
If any it of looks
you
guys like, play,
you know who that is.
I will be honest. Okay. I hate the suit. I think it looks terrible.
Looks like a bug.
It does. I don't like it.
It looks like, if any of you guys watch Teen Wolf, it looks like the doctors that were in the last, it was either the penultimate or the last season.
I've never seen it, so I have not.
Oh my gosh, I fucking love Teen Wolf. There's a movie out now, and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hmm.
All right. Well, fuck.
I don't like the round eyes on the suit.
I didn't either.
No, it looks like the doctors.
So obviously, you know, we realize this movie is Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and we touched base a little bit on Letitia Wright, but let's dive into Letitia Wright. Let's dive into Shuri, the character here, and what I expected of this movie, and foolish me for being short-sighted, but I expected a very cookie-cutter, all right, Black Panther, rise up and take her brother's mantle and face a villain that's going to give her a little bit of trouble, but not enough where she doesn't change who she is. You know what I mean? It's just, this was way more, and I know we touched base on it a little bit, but let's dive deeper into it. The complexities of grief and her trying to make amends, or not amends, but try to make sense of what's happened, but also dealing with all that grief, dealing with her mother,
guilt.
Yes. And dealing with her mother, and then dealing with the throne, and dealing with what kind of queen she wants to be, and the Black Panther, and also developing the heart-shaped herb. There was so much going on, and she was not this just, I love my brother and I'm going to honor his memory. She was vengeful. She was very hurt. She was torn. She was very angry at times, and she had this streak to her as well. And I would argue rightfully so.
That I liked it because it does show how people respond differently to loss.
She felt,
I liked
real.
The vengeful side. I didn't like, you know, obviously vengeful people aren't going to go far, but it represented real emotion.
She felt three-dimensional. She did not feel just like a piece of a comic book just slapped on a page. She felt like a real person. And I agree with you, Clinton. I'm just extrapolating a little. Because yes, 100% agreed with you. She felt like a real person. She felt like she was dealing with grief. She did go back and forth a little bit. She did have complexities to her character. And that throne is a complex situation as well as what we've seen in the past. And they did that justice. I guess I just expected something so much more linear for her. And they didn't. And they just made a character that I absolutely loved. Not that I was in love with. I was not in love with all the decisions she made. There was times where I completely disagreed with what Shuri was doing. But it was not disagreed because that's dumb. Just disagreed because I would have taken a different path. But it still felt like a real character who's making real decisions for herself. So, I don't know. Emmy, Shuri, what's your thoughts, my friend?
I hate that they took Ramonda. I hated that. And seeing Shuri just absolutely break down and crying out for her mom was heartbreaking. But I do feel like that was necessary to make that vengeful side feel earned as it was. But also shows Ramonda and how she was willing to save Riri till the end. She was the same person, the same queen till the very end. And that just, I mean, it hit home. It was amazing. You said not in love with. I think I was in love with Shuri because the aesthetic that she had going on, like the feminine leaning androgyny, it made me feel some type of way. Like she.
Can you expand on that?
How'd you feel, Amy? Did you feel a little tingle in your jingles?
Yep. She, you know, I feel like I'm like 51% straight. I don't know. I might just be 50% straight.
Yeah. got that wiener hard, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. She looked, I mean, her style sense is amazing. She looked amazing. And so powerful and just like, she didn't fit the mold of what a queen should be.
Right.
And I really liked that about her. Like, she was just very much, this is who I am. I'm going to continue to be this person. But she also changed because of all of her grief and her guilt and all of that stuff. And she went through her whole character development. But her sense of style.
I like what you said there, Emmy. I like what you said there. When you said that she wasn't like, she's very young. I mean, when you're young, I know us, we're still this way now, but just imagine us in our early 20s. You can tell us shit, you know, and Shuri is still very young in this cinematic universe.
I think I was more mature in my early 20s than I am in my late 20s now.
Yeah. Oh, man, there was a delay there, Clinton. You're caught in
your mid-40s.
make me laugh.
I am not in my 40s. I'm trying. Just so everyone knows.
I'm trying.
Yeah, not until December.
That's not true either.
December, he turns 41. It's going to be great.
That's not true. So,
anyway.
Any of you new listeners, I am not that old.
But, Emmy, I think that's a great point where you said she was very kind of almost a little rigid in her ways, but I don't think that's a character flaw. I think that's also just being young. And so I agree with you. I think she was very much that. We're going to do this, especially like she talks to M'Baku, who can throw Emmy's back out. Every time I saw him, I thought of you, Emmy. And it
oh, my gosh.
God, it fucked my brain up.
That new armor this time.
When the two of them were on screen together, I was in heaven. Oh. I was just like, yep. I was glad that there were
peanut butter and jelly sandwich for Emmy.
Like, yeah, one on either side. Let's do this.
That's peanut butter and jelly. Okay, anyway, so we will, but I agree. Like, but she stood up to M'Baku. She's like, do we have a problem here? Like, basically, like, you will do this. We are going to do this. And I also really, okay, and also speaking of Shuri, I got to talk about this real quick. The Black Panther costume is my favorite Black Panther costume we've gotten. I think it, I have seen Killmonger. I've seen T'Chaka. I've seen T'Challa. No, I'm sorry, but Shuri's costume is fucking amazing. Like, I want to be that for Halloween. The colors, the vibrancies, everything. Fucking out of this world. I just had to, I knew I would forget if I didn't say it. Black Panther's costume. Holy shit. Fucking gorgeous.
I noticed something about the costume. Of course, we've got the dots on her face like she usually does her makeup. Okay. Which is her part of it. But then the suit also has silver and gold on it, which after she comes out of the ancestral plane is perfect.
Yes.
Because of Killmonger being like, are you going to be like your brother? Or are you going to be like me?
She had shades of both. I fucking loved it. It looks so good. Clinton, help me. We are comic book guys.
I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to get to talk about Shuri.
Never.
Sorry.
Bitch.
I apologize.
It's okay. It was not. I like the costume about the costume. It wasn't my favorite of it. I'm still a sucker for that OG one in Civil War. Yeah.
That look
Black Panther costume is just my favorite.
That's my second now. That is now my second. I'm sorry. Shuri's is number one, but
this one looked very, there was a lot of sticking out things on it. So it felt very bedazzled almost.
I liked it. I like bedazzled.
Like there was a lot going on with this costume. And it wasn't, there was a couple scenes where it, like on the shoulder, like where she had like, you know how she had those lines that stuck out like all through it, right? They weren't symmetrical on each side, and that bothered me a little bit.
Jeez. The thing, I
looked a little scattered.
I just thought the colors. I don't know. I thought the colors, the patterns. I thought it looked awesome.
I like the point of the Black Panther.
The meaning behind it was really cool.
Yeah, I liked her arc a lot because of one of the people with me was like, it's in the credits that Michael B. Jordan's going to be in this. And I'm like, why the fuck did you just tell me that?
Oh my gosh. Before you watch the movie?
While we're in the theater, when the movie started.
That. I did not. Oh, that pisses me off for you.
And I said, okay. So, but they still got me. I still wasn't sure what to expect.
I see what you did there.
But the way he leaned on the throne, so it didn't show him from the back, and she has an ancestral plane.
So good.
And like, I was like, oh my God, this is perfect for her arc right now because that's the attitude she has.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's who she's going to see in the ancestral plane. She wants to burn the world to the ground right now.
And she even talks about that with her mother when she's grieving.
Yes.
When she's grieving T'Challa, her brother. She even said, like, you know.
She says that, doesn't she?
She does, word for word. She wants to burn the world to the ground.
Or if I sit with my grief for long enough, I'll want to burn the world to the ground.
Same thing.
I think to Emmy's point too, Ramonda passing, like drowning, had to kind of kickstart her because if she wouldn't have had Ramonda's guidance from the beginning, I think she would have turned into another Killmonger.
Well, Ramonda was her conscience. Ramonda was her. There. Yes, because even
then, when she lost her, she went on this, but she still remembered her mother's words. And then by the end of the movie, she's doing the grieving process with the linens, and stuff like that. Like she's still remembering.
I mean, just think about it. I mean, just think about it. In the last, you know, gosh, 5-10 years, she's lost her mother, father, and brother. Everything she knows is done. It's gone. Mm-hmm. And she's alone. That will change a person. That will change. You know what I mean? And it, like, one of those losses is enough to completely change your worldview and change who you are as a person. To deal with everything all at once, I that's what I loved about this character, because it did, it felt so real and earnest and raw, and not just like, oh, okay, she's just grieving like Martha, you know, like Batman v Superman. It felt it just felt so real, especially, oof, I want to get to that Martha piece a little bit later when we talk about Namor and Shuri fighting. I had a flashback there. We're gonna switch gears just a little bit. Speaking of Namor, Namor is he was played by Tanakh Huerta, and this guy fucking I loved it. I will say this though, I will say this caveat, and this is something Renee brought to me, and I completely agreed. I almost busted out laughing, the wings on the feet. I was just like, it's kind of, I'm sorry. It was just like, the character I loved, the story I loved, the meaning behind what he did I loved. The little wings look like, just like, it was just like, oh.
I loved it.
I know, it's comic book. I get it. It's
comic book.
I'm not arguing that, but I'm like,
kept it.
It's still like a little, okay, all right. So anyway, that's my... I know.
Serpent.
I get it. I'm not arguing what he is. I'm saying how it looks. It looked funny to me. I literally was like,
I think they executed it well for the, because it's a silly concept. And I think with the boots and the armor giggled. On, the way it came out, the gold.
I giggled. I fucking bad, giggled. And there were people in my theater that giggled too. We were all just like, oh shit. Anyway, but still, fucking great character. Doesn't take away from who he is. But I will say the floating feet were a little, I don't know. Yeah, a little. It was hard to get on that.
So. His ankles.
Sorry, floating ankles. Anyway, Emmy.
I'm in between you guys because I'm with Brandon. It did look a little silly, but the way that they made him look in the sky whenever he was able to just like kind of turn and pivot, and like it was like he was kicking off of air. It looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he was like flying around.
It looked
awesome.
Well, I agree with you, Emmy. At the very beginning, it was very jarring. It really was. I was like, oh, shit. But once the movie got started, once the character, like I started getting to know the character and understanding it, I looked past it. You know, it was probably the first scene where I was like, and then after that, I was able to get on board. So I would agree with what you said there.
I was kind of, he was a good antagonist about said villain, but he's not a villain.
Excuse me, Clinton, what are we about to say here? You're kind of what? Were you disappointed?
No.
I thought you were like...
I was kind of on his side.
Oh, kind of. Oh, yeah.
He comes out of the water initially and is talking to Ramonda and Shuri, and he wants their help. That's what he's asking.
Oh, I was 100%
on his... He was asking for help to kill the scientist who's only 19 years old who created the machine.
He didn't know the age of the scientists, first of all. No one knew that.
So the older the scientist, you can kill him? Ageist? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he didn't know the intent behind it. He just knew it was hurting his people. And he came with the intention of asking for help because it was affecting his people.
He wanted them to bring him the scientist so that he could kill the scientist. And once he does discover that the scientist is only 19 years old, he's still hell bent on killing.
Right.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh, okay.
But he did not know that at this point.
But it, what? So if it was a 45-year-old scientist?
No, me like watching the movie, when he comes to them with great this, life. When he comes to them with this, I get it. Because as I'm watching the movie, we, as an audience, do not know it's a 19-year-old yet. I knew it was going to be her at this point. It rang in my mind, but I felt
I
like...
I didn't.
This, really?
Really?
I did.
I leaned over and I told you, I was like, it's the sign. She's like, it's Riri. I was like, yeah, it's Riri.
So
I'm kind of glad that I didn't go see it with you.
But with his character arc, especially,
I would have been pissed.
This is like something I wanted Black Adam to be that wasn't. You know what I mean? Like this, just this hell bent. Fuck this! I'm going to protect my people at all costs. It just was. It was good storytelling, and it was really because it was still grounded in logic. Yes, sometimes the decisions is not something you would totally do. Same with Shuri. I mean, but at the same time, they're still grounded in It reminds me almost of Civil War, Captain America and Tony Stark, where like I can agree and disagree with some of those characters at different points, but I see where they're coming from. And I completely saw where Namor and Shuri were coming from for each of their nations and their motives as well. And that's great storytelling to me, where I'm kind of on one side. To Clinton's point, I was on Namor's side at the very beginning, you know, but as he got a little bit more tyrannical and a little bit more burned the whole earth to the ground, you know.
He showed himself a little bit more.
Exactly. And I obviously you're going to flip at that point.
They played off that each other because Correct. They kept digging at each other sure with things. Did. Because when he took Shuri, and another thing I like about this movie is the things in my head that would have been a pet peeve for me, it gets said.
Yeah.
Like when they're in the cave.
Okay.
And
Shuri.
Namor is talking to Shuri, uh-huh. and he's telling her all this about his family, and it's his origin story, right? And it was such a good way to do it.
Oh, it was great.
And I was like, but why does Shuri care? And then Shuri was like, why are you telling me this? And I'm like, they
call capture it out.
What a real person would say. Like, it didn't make sense. Why are you telling me this? And that's exactly what she says. Cause I'm like, why is he telling her this?
Great point.
They did that a couple times and I can't remember the other examples, but there was a couple times that happened.
But they're not afraid to do it.
They're aware that people are going to have that question. They're not
afraid to ask it because they know they have the storytelling behind it to someone. Yes.
They have the answer.
Great point.
This is one of my questions, and it's a question for you, Brandon. You just said that was great. Him telling his origin story was great, correct?
Yes.
Okay. In Black Adam, you called out the mm-hmm. beginning of the movie.
I sure did.
For that exposition. What's the difference?
Because one feels very ABC to me. And one feels very earned. One, I have 20, 30 movies on top of it where I can get on board. And it's a little bit of bias, but it is. I'm a little bit more invested in Marvel Studios than a Black Adam movie that just sprung upon me. And I'm learning this character for the very first time ever. Also, the Black Adam character was just very generic to me. It was very, rise up, let's do this. Namor didn't feel that way. Namor felt like he was trying to honor his mother and saying, hey, you want to know why I want to burn this place to the ground? This is why. You know what I mean? And to me, that's added context to a layered individual rather than try to tell the entire backstory of someone. You know what I mean? And to me, Namor had already proven that he was a complex character from his previous interactions with Ramonda and with Shuri. Where I felt more invested in this character rather than the first 3 minutes of the story, I have to be told everything, you know? And so,
I see
that.
My question, but for me on that front is it's like, we don't know how to integrate this history into the story in Black Adam. So we're going to start the movie. We're just going to catch everyone up at the beginning.
That's
it.
Exactly.
And it just feels not earned. This one, it fit into the narrative of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Of where they were at.
I see that, and I didn't have an issue with it, but I wanted to bring it up because I know that
some people are going to listen to both and say, hey, fucker.
You called it out here, but you didn't call out here. So I'm glad you guys made a really good argument for the distinction, because I think you guys are right, because it didn't bother me here at all.
A great question, though, Emmy. And by the way, good storytelling trumps all. And I think that's just a compliment to Marvel Studios, not us. I think they made it an easy point to make. So,
and I like the dynamic here when Shuri and Namor are together, because it does show you they could live peacefully if they would get rid of their egos. Mm-hmm. Like if they could really just come together, you kind of get a glimpse of how they could probably like Shuri's astonished by this.
Yeah. She's very.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like she loves the city
and respectful mm-hmm. and to it. She wears their garb. Yeah, and she does,
sees the kids. Yes. She sees all of it. So it was a cool way to show, like, if we wanted to. Go ahead.
No, keep going. No, we're just saying who's next. Going.
I just have a point after you get
exactly. Done. We were deciding who's talking after you.
I just like that it showed that it was like it wasn't foreshadowing because it doesn't happen that way, but it was a way to say like they're both dealing with their own issues and they're in their own heads and they're all about just no, protecting my people. I'm not going to hear mm-hmm. your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. But if they could get out of each other's way, their own ways, they could live peacefully. And I love that we got a glimpse of that,
mm-hmm.
even though he did kidnap her, but you know,
that old thing,
that old Beauty and the Beast thing, what's that called?
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, well, no, it's actually called Tale as Old as Time, but yeah.
And no, actually, Stockholm syndrome is when they fall in love with their captor, and I don't think she fell in love with Namor, even though I did.
No, but I in that scene, I kind of did see a little bit of a beginning.
Like,
yeah, if they could rule together, like that would be, I think that would be interesting.
He walked up on the shore like that with me, I'd be like, anything you say.
Yes,
I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Daddy.
All right, Amy, you had a point before we got onto this daddy discussion for Namor.
I did, because at the end, whenever Shuri is about to end Namor, she has some flashes of both, like, it's the parallels of Wakanda and what's the city?
Talokan.
Talokan. And the parallels are that's where Brandon was going to. We were just fighting to see who got it first.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And it's just, yeah, it's exactly the same situation. It's paralleled above the water, above like the surface people and the underwater people.
More connects Martha. Us than differentiates us. And you're exactly right, Clinton. This was my Martha standpoint, where like, help,
I see.
Martha, because literally she's standing over, like she could slice his throat. It's very reminiscent of Batman v Superman. Don't tell me I don't
knew how to do it.
Yes, don't tell me I don't like Batman v Superman, because right now I'm pointing to 2 1/6 scale figures that I spent way too much money on because it was the first time Batman and Superman were on a screen together. I want DC to do these things. I support them doing these things, but do them in a way that feels earned. And this was a point, exactly to Emmy's point, and her and I were jostling and who was going to say it first behind the scenes, but it was exactly, there's this, the flashbacks before where Batman never knew, he never met Superman's mother. There's nothing there that ties it together. There's nothing, it just, and yet Shuri had that whole feature where she is just, and she's embracing the culture, she's enjoying the culture, she's loving what she's seeing. She sees more that connects them that divides them. And in the middle of the scene where she could have sliced his throat, and damn well should have, in some cases, some people could make that argument, man, I don't blame her if she just said, fuck off, I'm done. You know what? You want to burn this earth to the ground? I'm going to send a message to you and everyone else. And she had compassion. She has that complexity. She had that wherewithal to say, you know what? Not worth risking for my people and risking
a war.
And to me, that's the T'Challa and the Killmonger. And it's just, it's so well done. I enjoyed it so much.
I do have a question in this battle right here.
Of course.
When she does a flip over him and is standing in front of him when he's walking, and she goes, Wakanda forever. And the engine blows up. What? How? What did she hit a button? What did she do here?
Oh, God.
The beads. The beads. She just goes like this. She says Wakanda forever and does the cross arm.
The beads.
It's not the beads.
I don't know. Everything that I can't explain in this movie, I'm just saying it's the beads.
I really
and don't I know. Miss I had to miss it because, and I ask people and they don't know either. But
and I'll be
the
honest,
the engine had. And was in pieces. The ship was in pieces and that engine was there. Maybe she saw it happening behind him.
If you
is
know,
all I can think that it was about to blow.
Maybe if you know, let us know. And we apologize. We've only seen this movie one time. Yeah. So, you know, you got to forgive us. We don't have review copies. We can't slow things down. We can't go back.
And I've slept since then. And so I've forgotten a lot.
Exactly. We saw it last night. We're reviewing it tonight. So if you do know these answers, please reach out to us. We'll be happy to retweet you. Actually, we won't because it's spoilers. So we'll probably wait a little bit, but just send us a quick message. We'd love to hear from you. So just want to encourage that and also give that caveat. We don't know everything. Sorry. But yeah,
I do. I'm choosing to withhold.
Gotcha.
Can we talk about the attack when it starts?
Yes.
Well,
I think we should.
Can we go?
Wait, which one?
Well, hold. Are you talking about the war?
And when Namor attacks after
Wakanda?
Before we do, one more thing before we get there, because we really haven't dove deep into this individual. Dominic Thorne as Ironheart.
Yeah.
I would like to go into Ironheart a little bit because
go into the people and then we'll go into the places.
Well, this is the last one
we'll do the things.
Yes. I really want to get to her because don't get me wrong, there's so much to unpack here. And I also think Nakia's story, we'll get to that towards the tail end as we finish up the review. But Ironheart's such an integral part of this battle. And we see her, guys, Riri Williams is in the MCU. Emmy, what are you thinking? You here for it?
Oh my God. I'm so here for it that it's stupid. Like it was, I wanted so much more of her. Her personality is fantastic. She is awesome. When they come to her dorm room and they're like, we're going to take you to Wakanda. And she's like, no, I've got, it's not calculus, but she's like, I've got to go to a class, one of the math classes that I never took because I'm not that fucking smart. Like, oh my gosh. And then she holds her own and throws a speaker at them. And then she tries to hold her own. Well, no, she doesn't hold her own. She's trying to go into the bathroom and then Okoye is there. I mean, like I said before, the humor hits and a lot of the humor is Riri. And Riri is awesome.
I 100% agree that Riri is awesome. I 100% agree that most of the humor hits. It's because of Riri. I loved it a lot. I will say two things. One, her going to a class reminded me very much of Spider-Man from Civil War when Tony's trying to recruit. So
yeah,
I like that. And I kind of didn't because it felt like a repeat of something I saw previously. Just a little nitpick there. Also,
but Tony was still involved. I kind of like it at all.
Yeah.
Because Tony was trying to get him to fight.
Correct.
They're just trying to.
That's true.
Her.
It just felt they're very, trying to save her. It just felt like I got homework, man. It just felt very the same thing I heard before. Just a little nitpick, just a tiny. Also, her Ironheart costume. Oh, I need a little bit different. I don't know. It looks like a space Power Ranger to me. And I love Power Rangers. I'm the biggest Power Ranger fan, I think, on this podcast. I have too much Power Ranger stuff. But I will say this. It was just like, oof. I like it, but I'm okay with a Mark II. I'm okay with a Mark III. I'm looking forward to hopefully some advances to the tech because it just felt very, I don't know. It felt like a little bit of a step down look wise than what I was wanting to see from Ironheart. Those are my nitpicks, but Riri Williams as a character I loved, her humor I loved. I think she's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see what her future is in store in the MCU, but I will say a little bit very Tom Hollandish when I was watching it. Not saying that's what happened, but that's what my brain said while I was watching. Oh, this is Tom Holland from Civil War. And also the suit left a little bit to be desired on my end.
I was so excited to see her that I don't know that the look of the suit actually left an impression on me. Like trying to picture it right now, I can't. Maybe it was a little because I did have like a Big Hero 6, like it was a little Baymaxy, like just a tiny bit. But no, I wasn't looking at the suit. I was looking honestly at Riri Williams. And her introduction, and that was what solidified it for me. It was amazing.
Well, y'all know
that I don't like to say.
Y'all know I've been looking forward to Riri since Ironheart was announced. I just I love this character from comics. Like I was so excited that she was going to be introduced. Period. And when I found out she was going to be in Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, I didn't know she was going to play such a heavy pivotal role. I mean, she's the whole reason they go to war. So yes,
that's true.
I did not expect her to be such a pivotal character in this.
Great point.
And I was very satisfied with it. And I love the brashness of her and her whole attitude, demeanor. Dominic Thorne's nailing that role. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I really can't wait to see her in her own show. I liked the first armor she builds. I love that whole scene when they're in the garage and they get the car and the motorcycle. That was like an homage to the first one when they had that car chase fight. Excuse me. They had that whole chase fight scene. You remember that in the first one?
In the first Black Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Okoye also put the spear down in the car to steer it that way.
Yeah. With the beads driving and they were like, it was an auto. Yep. Yep.
And then Chadwick was like bouncing on the cars as Black Panther. Like he was, anyway, I thought that was cool that they did that. And that scene where they're all three, like the motorcycle, and then you see Riri come from the sky and they're all coming at the same time. I was like, oh my God. I will.
Well, I think we were all coming at the same time. If you know what I mean.
Ayo.
Okay.
Ayo.
hey.
If
yo,
I do have to kind of agree with Brandon on the second suit. Somebody that was with me was like, "Is that a flying Power Ranger?"
That's exactly hilarious. What they said. That's hilarious.
It felt very animated looking. I feel like the CG lacked a little bit. It
Agreed.
It felt brighter than the scene around it. Mm-hmm. I felt like something was off with like the reflection or something. It just felt animated.
Yep. Yeah, no, and it's funny. Renee made the same point as well. I think I was thinking it, and she said it, but I don't think it's a very limited set of people that are thinking this. I really
and it's I don't think it's here to stay. I think we're gonna get past this when we get in her show.
I agree. That's why I'm looking forward to the Mark II, Mark III, whatever it ends up.
She built this one too, I guess, but. Or did they help?
But with Wakandan tech.
She had Wakandan tech assisting, but she still built it. She was the one that kind of still engineered it. I want to see it advance because I will say that it is.
And
it was very animated.
I wish we would have gotten, and we may have. I know it got talked about. Stark was mentioned. But I wish they would have done some kind of tie-in to why she's building suits like Tony. You know what I mean?
Well,
that might be something that's explored in
the show. Ironheart show. Like she just looked up to him. She was one of maybe the kids at the MIT when he gave his speech.
And I think that's exactly it, Clinton. I don't think you're wrong for wanting that. I think
she's too young for that. If she's only 19 now,
she could have been
MIT.
She could have been a prodigy. She could have been a prodigy. Yeah,
she could have been one of those prodigy kids. Yeah. Or if she just watched that speech and it inspired her when she was younger. True.
And okay. I think, Clinton, I think you're right. I just think it's almost like patience, my friend. It's coming. But I know what you're saying, but I do think it's coming for sure.
And I know it's not going to happen, but how cool would it be? Because he's expensive to get hired, but having Robert Downey Jr. be the AI voice for her suit would be
fuck
yeah. Oh my God.
I really wish that would happen.
Fuck yeah.
Just to tie it in. I don't know. Would be.
Yeah. Love that idea.
That would be chef's kiss, Amy.
Chef's kiss. No. 100%, Clinton. I love it.
No. Hey, there's another one that I used it actually today with y'all, but there's another phrase that makes me want to punch somebody. It's meat and potatoes. Like, oh yeah, we're going to do this, but then we'll get into the meat and potatoes. Oh fuck you.
Wow.
You don't like meat and potatoes?
No, I don't love meat, but I love potatoes.
Me too. I just made
mashed. So what is it? Why don't you like it?
I just don't like the phrase.
Why though?
I'm not sure. I think that maybe somebody that I dislike uses it and therefore now I dislike it.
She's basically saying she doesn't like Clinton and I. Because
No.
I say meat and taters.
It's not y'all. I know who it is. It's not y'all.
All right. Any other thoughts on Riri before we head on to the battle, Amy?
I think maybe the reason that I wasn't so focused on the suit as a whole was because the entire time, and this is possibly a gripe for me, the entire time that she was on screen in her suit, I was trying to find where that heart that she cuts out of the metal, where that was in her suit, because it's nowhere to be found.
Ah.
And it just frustrates me that she, because she, that's when she's like doing the whole Tony Stark hammering thing. Like for
it's not in the, to, it's in the first suit. It's just got lighting in the middle of it.
But you don't see that scene until she's in Wakanda building her new suit. And then when you see her in the new suit, that Iron Heart is not there.
It might.
That I saw.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
And I didn't see full. I mean, it was hard because she's like flying around and fucking shooting stuff. And like it was hard to get like, but that was what I was always looking for whenever I saw her on screen.
And yeah, I don't see it either. There's that big chest, but it's way bigger than the piece.
But it's way bigger than the, yeah. So that's what my gripe would be about the suit.
I love that it's more the engineer side, like the more the logistics side. He's like, that doesn't make sense with what I saw that was cut out. It's literally like, yeah, I just love that.
Well, why even do it?
Right.
If you're not going to fucking.
No, I just love that.
Like,
that's what
you
were doing.
It was just the trailer thing, I feel like. They were so happy. We have to shoot this just for the trailer. Mm-hmm.
I got so happy seeing the heads up visor, though.
Yes, it looked good.
Let's go. I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but look at this CG comparison. Look at the Iron Man suit from Iron Man 1 compared to this.
Bingo, bullshit. Clinton. 100%. And I know you guys can't see it right now.
Maybe you guys are just used to red and gold, and this has too much blue or
something. Are you kidding? Emmy, come on.
And while we're talking about suits.
And that- yeah, Brandon's Clinton 1. What the fuck?
No.
What? Sorry.
I don't know.
This
Brandon's colorblind.
So I am colorblind. It doesn't matter at all to me.
The suit that Okoye wore later, yes. I leaned over to Gina. I said, oh, we got Big Bad Beetleborgs up in here. Did you guys ever watch Beetleborgs?
Yes.
The old show.
Yes, it was made by Saban Entertainment as well.
Laid.
It reminded me of a Beetleborg suit.
It does remind me, but fuck you, Emmy. Anyway. I will gladly leave my virginity on the floor for some Beetleborgs. Anyway. All right. Well, so we are going to move on to the battle. Clinton, you wanted to talk about this. I'm going to switch to you, my friend. You were talking about the main battle, obviously, with Namor and the water.
Are you talking about the attack on Wakanda, or are you talking
about the big bad battle at the end? Let's kind of talk about both.
Attack on Wakanda.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about the attack on Wakanda, and we can also kind of switch gears also to the main battle that occurred at the end between these two. So, Clinton, take us away, man. I know this is something you wanted to talk about.
Well, we had the Tala Khan, right? And we had Shuri and Riri captured. First of all, I guess my brain initially was like, well, they wanted to kill Riri. Why aren't they killing her? They have her held hostage. Are you wanting to kill her? Then why aren't you killing? But I guess that was Namor trying to ration is why he took Shuri through the caves is because like, are we going to go to war if I kill this person basically? Right. So I guess that's why they didn't, because they knew a war would ensue.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Mm-hmm. But then we got Nakia, who comes in there with her fancy flying water thing that she can get into and go underwater,
mm-hmm.
and gets them, right? And the whole battle starts because Nakia shoots that kid, that young girl who's got Riri. Is it Riri she's got, or Shuri?
No, he's... She's got Shuri because as soon, whenever
it is Shuri.
Yeah, whenever Namor is talking to Ramonda, he says, if any of your people get close to or like even enter the water or whatever, I'm going to kill the princess. And then when Nakia shows up,
then Nakia shoots that girl, and it's the whole war ensues because of Nakia, because Shuri even stays trying to save her. And Nakia's mm-hmm. like, we have to go, we have to go, we have to go. Because Shuri's just seen this underwater world and like has more of a empathy, I guess.
Empathy, mm-hmm. understanding, appreciation.
Understanding.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So she's trying to save her. And this girl's really young. So then Namor shows up, right? Wow. But he's over talking to Rwanda. And
Ramonda.
Rwanda.
Rwanda's a country.
Rwanda and Wakanda. I love it. Ugh.
Yeah, I knew when I said that, it came out of my mouth wrong, but he gets back and his perspective is like, oh, they started this fight now. Like, okay, they've shots have been fired, literally.
Yes.
And this little girl dies. I wouldn't say she's not a little girl. She's a young girl, though. She's a teenager, probably. Right?
Yeah. I think so. Yes.
She seems very young.
It seems like they live a lot longer. So she's probably in her 40s or 50s.
I don't know about that.
But like they're supposed to live to like 250.
But my point is, this is a great setup because it almost makes the watcher go, or the viewer say, okay, I get it. So Namor's like, okay, they attacked literally us first. So we're not holding back now. So that's his whole thing, is to protect his people, right? And then this young girl's dead. And then he's like, okay, we're unleashing. And then it just balls to the wall when they show up in Wakanda and start just going to town.
But before we even get there, okay, we had the fight on the bridge. What, four people from the water on Okoye?
Atuma and what's the lady's name? I can't remember.
I can't
remember. Atuma's a big in the comics. Atuma, the guy with the big headpiece.
Yes,
mm-hmm. He is a an antagonist to Namor because they start getting divided because Atuma thinks he can lead better.
And I still think that's to come. I still think that's to come. I really think, especially with the way they...
With the deal they made by the end.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think there's some things that are going to occur. So potential speculation ahead there. Good stuff, Clint.
Anyway, go ahead.
Like, Okoye, I mean, wounds most of them, like, mortally. Like, they should all die. And they all end up being okay. So why is this girl mortally wounded? And she asks Namor to save her. Or can you save me?
And then
why? And then she dies. So like, why?
Oh, I don't know.
What's there's a disconnect here for me.
She gets like, stabbed, right?
So do the people on the bridge.
They don't get stabbed. They get sliced.
Yes, they do. One of them had a spear through them at one point. I'm pretty sure. I don't think
any of them get impaled. It's like a fight battle, like the swords almost, but it's the spears. I think they're just like cut and sliced.
I'm with.
I'm pretty sure one of them, at least one of them, gets impaled. Let's hypothetically say I'm right, and one of them does, because I don't know that I would have had the same question had it not happened.
So, like, also, I don't feel like this girl watching Shuri is as much of a warrior as these people. Mm-hmm. I feel like she was more of a guard.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, Shuri's a bit of a warrior. So why?
Shuri's really not much of a warrior either.
She never was. Yeah.
She wasn't. She did the tech. She was the brain.
Exactly. She did fight in
the first one. She fought in the first one. Yeah.
I think fighting.
Last minute, she was down there and then came out with her gauntlets.
Correct. I think fighting for her country and being a warrior is two different things. Don't get me wrong. Yes, that's an amazing thing she did, but I don't think that's who she is, if that makes sense.
Mm. Okay, so allow me to maybe stretch just a little bit.
All right, let's stretch. Here we go. All right, everyone, get your Wakanda Forever stretching on. All right.
Okay, all right. So when the three people behind what's Big Old Bad's name, who was a antagonist to Namor. I have a tickle of my throat right now.
Atuma.
Yeah.
Atuma.
Atuma.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
When Atuma sees that those three people are down, he tells them to go back in the water. He says something like, go back in the water. Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe Namor could have saved this girl by putting her back in the water?
No.
But instead decided to let her die so that he could go to war?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
No, his whole thing is to protect his people. He would not do that to start a war.
I couldn't agree more with Clinton.
They stayed dormant until till that whole machine showed up. They've been around. They established with his story, he's been around for a very long time.
They
only attacked when they are attacked.
Okay, so even after the princess and the scientist both escaped, and so they have no more bargaining chips, you don't think? No,
not at all.
No?
Not the slightest.
Oh, I think, okay, well, I stretched a little bit then.
I don't think he wouldn't have let her die just mm-hmm. for the
then
fact of...
Why does she ask him to save her?
Well, she's dying. That's who she looks up to as her god, her leader. She's asking him, like, I don't think it was like an intent. Can you save me? It was like, save me, ?
Okay, all right. You guys have your way.
I think it hit harder for her saying that, too, because it was like, he couldn't. So when I watched that scene, she died, and I was like, oh, he can't. He's furious now.
So I'm going to also talk about kind of... You know, I know, Emmy, you've got a page of notes, so we'll get to all those notes before we head on out of here. But there, kind of, I want to put a little bit of a bow on this podcast a little bit with Nakia. Because Nakia...
We didn't talk about the battle.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. The main battle. We'll talk about the main battle as well. But Nakia...
We didn't even talk about
I'm talking about the Wakanda invasion. When he comes out of that, I was just setting that up. Like, when they come out of the water and they just...
Okay, I apologize. Let's go to the main battle, and then we'll talk about Nakia before we...
I'll hit the highlights for me. It's when we see Namor flying I know the wing part.
I'm sorry.
It didn't take away from me, but I thought it was badass.
Like, it reminded me of like Forrest Gump like, when all the little doves are flying around. I don't know. I'm sorry.
But they come out with a vengeance. We get M'Baku who like fights back. And when Namor's standing on the shore and he just puts his arm up and it breaks across.
I'm not sure. Turns around. I'm not sure what M'Baku says, but I think it's Mafa. And I'm like here for it. I'm like, please. I just want to chant that with him. Like, Mafa! Hoo, hoo. Like, it makes me...
He does that chest thing?
Swear to God. It is. I'm sorry. I just get this weird thing about me. I'm like, I want to fight for him. I want to fight. I want to be right alongside Winston Duke and just screaming, Mafa! Hoo, hoo. Anyway. Fucking love it. Fucking A, M'Baku. You're fucking wonderful. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Quentin, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Glenn.
I love how lovable M'Baku was this movie compared to last movie. Because last movie, he was kind of like a secondary villain almost. And he was like almost scary and ominous. And this, he was just
fulfilled his promises to T'Challa. It showed his character development from the last movie. It was a logical progression. Because he made the promises to the king, and he fulfilled those promises through Shuri. He could have easily said, well, he's gone. No one knows what I talked to him about. Fuck this. He could have went the other way, but he even expressed that I owe you my allegiance because I owed him my allegiance. It's a great fucking story. I'm sorry. I know this movie is not perfect, but it has great fucking storytelling. Anyway, Clinton, sorry. I apologize. But fucking M'Baku, just shout out to him because we never really went in depth on him.
Yeah, we didn't.
And M'Baku.
You're right. The progression. That's why this movie could have been longer and it wouldn't have bothered me.
I agree with you.
I was so invested in the story.
I agree with you.
And I think it played both sides well to say, you know, I like this one and I like this one and I get it. But this whole battle was just like, it wasn't like a slow battle. It wasn't like they marched into a, they just showed up and started kicking ass and then Shuri jumps in the jet to go save, and we got her that she hits the little spear thing and saves them. But then when Namor comes up to the window and he just slams his spear into the window with Ramonda there,
yes,
and then backs off, it was such a good way to do it. Instead of, I don't know how to put it into words, but it was intimidating.
Sure was.
Because he did it like right in her face, and he probably knew it wasn't going to break the glass. He did that and then like flew back, and I'm like, oh, he's going to back off. This is an intimidation tactic. And then he just turns around and throws those things into the window.
Yes.
I was like, man, he is someone to be reckoned with.
Right.
She didn't fucking flinch. He did that to the window, and I would have shat my pants and fetal positioned, but she didn't fucking flinch. And she got in front of Riri.
Is it weird that both characters felt stronger from this scene? You know what I mean?
That's why I wanted to highlight it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I love what Clint was saying there. Like, he was doing an intimidation tactic, and you know what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to blow this. Yeah, but also to Emmy's point, she didn't fucking flinch. I think both characters were formidable. I think both characters were strong here. And I loved what both points you made. So I just wanted to kind of highlight that. This was a great scene to Clint's point.
When they're riding in to go fight, and you got some of them swimming, and then you got some of them riding whales, I'm like, oh, well, I would ride the fucking whale. You're going to get there faster.
Especially the killer whales. I would have felt like Free Willy. Orcas. Sorry. They're still killer whales. I know that's their nickname, but Jesus.
But it's a bad nickname. It gives them a bad, like.
Okay. Like, I watched Free Willy as a kid. Fight me, Emmy.
Like. White sharks, like great white sharks, are supposed to be called.
I just wish the Michael Jackson song where he did the Free Willy theme song, I wish Michael Jackson would have been on in the credits. Like, dun.
No, he got canceled and died.
Emmy loves cancel culture. And I hate it.
I'm sorry, but the Michael Jackson Free Willy song still hits. Just saying.
I want to say this too before I forget, because you know people are going to be comparing it to Aquaman. The way they did the visuals underwater look fantastic in this movie, because it looks way more realistic than Aquaman did.
Oh, Emmy looked like she disagreed.
They kept it dark underwater. Down in the water, it felt, you can't see much. Like, it felt murky. I think they represented underwater very well.
I liked it too, but Emmy looks like she's conflicted.
And if you're Namor, your hair is short and you don't have a ton of facial hair. Let's cast Jason Momoa as Aquaman and give him very long hair and a long beard, because that makes sense underwater when you're swimming and your beard flies in your fucking face all the time. God, that annoys me.
Emmy.
Okay, so the underwater, the fact that it was dark, I understand your logic there, but as a viewer of a movie, I don't want it to fucking be dark. I want to be able to see
everything just fine.
I could not, but maybe that was because I was at the shooty theater and the lights got turned off halfway through because they didn't pay their electric bill.
I wasn't saying it in that way. Like, it was dark in a good way. I could still see everyone, but it still wasn't.
That's clear. How underwater would be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't see as much as I wanted to. And so that's where the gripe came from for me. And I think that the biggest gripe that I had from this movie was, and I think that they filmed it all underwater, but when Namor is giving his speech, whenever he's on his throne, you know how when you talk underwater,
there's no bubbles.
Bubbles escape, right?
Yeah.
And he had no bubbles because I'm pretty sure they CG'd his mouth to the point where I could tell, and I hated it. It was like they had to go in to correct the bubbles. They had to put another mouth over top of it. And it ruined, I think, that really pivotal and impactful scene for me, because I didn't think that his mouth was moving the way that it should have been moving.
I don't know that I noticed that, because I was captivated by that headdress.
I didn't notice it at all. I'll be very frank.
He looked like Kotal Kahn from Mortal Kombat with that
headdress. Holy shit, I didn't think about that, but that's a very, yeah, I could see that. Sorry.
But anyway, back to when he's with the we'll go on. I'm sorry. But the Ramonda, and this is where she dies. He threw those bombs, right? Mm-hmm. Did they have water come out of them? I didn't really fully understand that.
That's how I took it. Blow
the window up, and then he pulled the water into there?
I thought the water came out.
It seemed like it was a bomb. And oh, God, I'm going to try to science fiction. It seemed like a bomb where they had kind of like a glow stick. When you break the glow stick,
right,
the two chemicals interact with each other and then become glowy. It seemed like that kind of thing to me, that when the bomb explodes, the two atoms come together and become water.
Okay.
That's how I took it.
I just took it as a little cube where water explodes instead of explosives.
Definitely wasn't a cube.
Well, or a little dodecagon, 20 sides, I guess. Whatever you want me to do.
I don't think it was 20 sides either.
But. All right, Emmy, I'm trying. Shit.
I don't know any of her.
But if you notice, one thing I did notice is the floor, right? She falls through the floor and then drowns, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That floor in the first, if you notice that chamber in the first one, it does have like a glass top floor. Like, it's not just a solid floor. They didn't just change that for this movie. Mm-hmm. Which I think is cool.
I agree.
Isn't that what the camera like tips through whenever it shows Killmonger on the throne?
Ooh, I didn't think about that, Emmy.
I didn't either.
Could be. Definitely could be.
Because I know, it shows him upside down. I don't know that it actually like shows the floor, but it does like.
Shows him walking
into
the room. But I don't know. It was, and then seeing her go save Riri, that she was a true queen to the end.
Sure was.
But when it shows her, when they show her, when Shuri comes in there and it shows and her just floating, down. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe they showed that.
Well, but I also love, it was a little bit, I don't know, vitriol. I'm trying to think of the word. It was a little bit, it was definitely, and her screaming for her mother, and just, it was
primal.
And it's something we've all done. I don't know if you've experienced loss and you've seen it right in front of your face. I mean, that's an instinct that you will have, and fight or flight is a real thing, my friends. And
your brain can't fathom what's happening.
It can't.
So you just kind of
right. And it's one of those things where it set Shuri on a path, and that's where it was just so, it was so, gosh, I don't know how to say it. It just was so visceral, and I think it needed to be. And it also sent a very,
of course.
Yeah. And it sent a strong point home to Shuri of this, there is no lines anymore. You know, the, hey, there is no, you know, we're okay. Hey, we can agree to disagree. It was, no, this is war. And that was the act of war. And that's what inspired Shuri to make those decisions that put her people at risk, but also put Namor's people at risk. She was willing to bet it all, and can't blame her. You can't blame her. She's lost everything. And the last straw that broke was her mother. And that was, I don't know, it was very powerful, Clinton, to your point, where she was face down. And I don't know. I liked it. And not obviously for what it did, but for what it set up. I thought it was really, really well done.
All right. Before we wrap this up, we have to talk a little bit about the final battle.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Basically, they come up with a plan to cook Namor.
I mean,
like, heat him up so he
can't. Yeah, that's anymore. Actually true. They did preheat the oven. You're exactly
so right. So they make this, you know, this little microwave room.
Yeah.
But he don't stand down. He knows his shit.
Well, so he gets close. He
just stabs straight through the engine. He's like, I'll just stab the floor and the engine will go out.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to
kill. That was the mistake, was leaving him with the sharp weapon.
Well, they're
And M'Baku already said that he's as strong as Hulk. So.
Well, it's funny because M'Baku's never fought Hulk. So that's interesting. But also, second, that, you know, we see that Namor obviously. They're trying to just basically dry him out because he needs the water. And they're like, no, we can do this certain thing where he's like literally deprived of oxygen and water at the same time. And he's fucked. And so that's what they try to do. And they do end up immediately kind of basically your easy bake oven Namor is what they do. And Namor ends up, you're exactly right, stabbing.
And when I'm watching this scene, I didn't realize there was a barrier between him and Shuri. And so he's stabbing the floor and I'm like, are you going to just stand there?
Yeah.
But no, she doesn't. He actually stabbed the ship, and apparently it was made of Legos, because when you stab that part of the ship, it turns into pieces and falls on a dusty beach.
And well, she even said, get us over to the desert, and they go over to the desert, and that's where we see that huge conflict arise, where we see the Martha situation happen that is 10 times
she
better.
Gets impaled.
She does. And how does she live?
Well, first of all, it didn't hit organs. It was like her stomach.
Okay. I still feel
the
like
stomach is an organ.
I still feel like we're stretching here, but okay.
Well, I mean, it ain't then, like the heart or the lungs or any of that. But
I know,
suit,
but
the suit compresses it. Yeah.
Because someone I was with was like, the worst thing to do is walk off of it. But I was like, no, the suit is compressed.
Yeah. She walked it out. And Isai walked it
like
out.
Like Taylor Swift.
I did.
Just gotta shake it off.
I was taken aback when she got impaled. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. I did think that it was like, for a moment, I kind of like wrote the end of the story, and I was like, I mean, that makes sense. She's become vengeful. She dies,
and now there's no family left.
Yeah,
going to take the
somebody has to take
that
the mantle
we know of.
That was supposed to be like the X-Files.
That sounded like the
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone. But yeah, it took me back when she got impaled.
Well, I'll be honest, when she impaled, I honestly thought, is this the end of the entire line here?
What I was just telling Emmy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. To your point, I just really thought, holy shit, we're not going to have any of this family left. What a bigger blow to Wakanda.
Well, not even just any of the family, but like then somebody else truly does have to take on the mantle.
Right.
Like somebody completely different. Like
from the lineage.
Yeah. Well, not even from the lineage, but just
from the lineage.
From Wakanda.
From the lineage. Which
could have been Okoye, could have been M'Baku.
Could have been Nakia.
Could have been that guy with the disc in his mouth. Mm-hmm. That suit would be interesting.
I would love to see
it. Would
that
be.
But yeah,
interesting.
But he had a few lines in this movie.
He did. Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
I did too.
But
yeah, this is, we've already kind of talked about this part though. Like she does the flip over him after just getting impaled, but she does have the heart shaped herb in her body too. So she is enhanced.
Very good point.
And then does the Wakanda Forever blow up thing. I don't know if she really needs to do Wakanda Forever out here. Like, I don't know. It felt a little out of place for me, but I don't know if it had something to do with the explosion.
Was it a little pandering to you?
It was just like, I wouldn't think of doing that in a battle. Like,
well, that's their kind of rally call.
In front of people.
I mean,
but, I think it had something to do with the beads.
But also T'Challa does it in Infinity War. Like, they're about to face all these.
But it's a rally cry.
I understand.
Yeah, it's like an Ivan Bay.
Together. We're fighting. It's an amp up like M'Baku does the.
But does it feel like she was? I know she was exploding something when she did it, but was it also in return a rally cry as well?
To who?
I don't know.
Him and her on the beach.
Herself.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess I just sometimes expect I have to walk into a
classroom like that. Like, all right, these kids aren't going to call you stupid. When you walk into
class on Monday, please just walk in and go, Wakanda forever.
And they'll be like, oh, my God. Yeah.
But we talked about how she shows him.
We did. Let's get to the final. I feel like we've been tiptoeing final battle.
Final battle though. I think that the coolest part of the final battle was the whole Sonic thing underneath the water, and then when they blow that ship up with all those water bomb things and it starts to get a little honestly though, that's basic physics, is like, don't make your ship taller on top than it is underwater. That was dumb of them,
right?
Because then it starts to tilt and people start falling in.
But then on the ship, is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The lady that's the Sonic thing, bullshit that she could swim through that and just stab it. Bullshit. She wasn't affected by it. She was just swimming through it. I was like, how is she not affected? And everybody else around her is.
Yeah.
I didn't see earmuffs on her head.
Well, but she was the lady with the stuff on her head. So she was the other person that you said the guy was from comics. I'm assuming the girl is also from comics.
Yeah, but I can't remember her name.
Differentiated them from the other blue people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not blue underwater. And then they're blue when they're out of the water. Did you notice that?
Well, yeah, because makeup's hard to keep on when you're in water.
Yeah,
that's a very good point, Amy.
That was one of my sore spots.
I did love the scene, and I'll shut up. I did love on the ship after the conflict on the little beach when Namor and Shuri show up together.
Uh huh. Yeah, that was.
They're standing
cool.
there in front of their people that are mm-hmm. fighting like they just did, but it's both of their people and they're the leaders of their people and they're united standing together
yep.
mm-hmm. over their people. I thought the symbolism was great. I thought it looked badass. I loved that part of it.
I mm-hmm. just also love that they questioned Namor at the end too. And Namor had a great argument, you know, like, hey, to be an ally with Wakanda, they'll need us again, you know, and we will rise. And I just love that they didn't just skip over that, because they could have easily like, hey, we rose together. This is it, you know, and everything's great. Credits. See you later for the next movie in 10 years. They touched base on it right then and there. And Namor's being questioned by his people. Like, I waited my entire life to rise up next to you, to fight alongside you, and you gave in. What the fuck?
And that was it?
Yeah.
That's where Atuma's conflict's going
to
come in.
Exactly. Like your point earlier, Clinton, with Atuma and Namor and their conflict that will happen. We will see it. And I just love that they set
that
up.
But I think they did anti-hero, to your point, Brandon.
Yeah.
Where Black Adam failed. They kept Namor. They changed a lot of him to not get comparisons to be Aquaman. They
right.
didn't even name it Atlantis. It's Atlantis.
I wish they would have kept it Atlantis. I understand, but still, it's
doing the heritage thing with the Aztec Mayan culture. And I loved that piece of it, because these movies have been about representation since the first one, right? So I love that. But I also love that they kept him anti-hero, because at the end of the day, even though he made a deal with Shuri, his whole thing, he's not going to pick a side. He is there to protect his people.
His people.
That's how he is in the comics. It's all about messing with his people.
Yep.
That's when you'll mess with him.
And the way that he got his name, brilliant.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a comics thing, but El Nino seen Namor, and he got Namor out of that. Amazing, because I don't know Spanish.
I honestly don't know if that is from comics, because I wouldn't have remembered if
either comics, either the movie or the comics, but fucking wonderful writing somewhere.
Yeah. In each of these worlds, you've got Bast, right? Like, they're both spiritual places. So he is the representation of their god, and then the Black Panther is the representation of their god.
Right.
So to that point, I think I had a question, and now I think I've answered it in my head. Whenever he goes up to any of the other blue people, he says, "My child." Has Namor Zeus'd the fuck out of this place and just had a whole bunch of children with a whole bunch of different people?
I think he's seen as a god, and that's why.
And so God loves all his children.
Yes.
Yes, because he is the incarnation, just like the Black Panther is the incarnation of Bast. He is the incarnation of that serpent.
Gotcha.
God, they name it. But we didn't even talk about it, guys. The biggest thing in this movie, I'm just with my people, and I get so excited. I clapped when he said he was a mutant.
Yes.
He
said
he was a mutant.
He sure did.
Oh, yeah.
He sure did.
And that he's existed for however
hundreds of years.
Mutants have been around in the MCU.
Yep.
They've just been out of sight.
Yep.
So it really set up a lot here.
Yes.
We had it hinted at in Ms. Marvel, but he said he was a mutant.
They said the M word. Here it is.
And he was talking about his history, and it was early. You know, it was when he's talking to Shuri and telling his origin story. And he's like, I was born a mutant.
Yep.
I
loved
like,
it.
Oh, my God. He said it.
When they say mutant, I just get a boner. 100%.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I can't. I almost forgot to bring that up.
It's a nerd boner. We call it a noner. And Clinton and I hard on noners in that scene when they said it. So
Clinton anyway, period.
Clinton has a noner all the time. But we are going to go.
Wait, what about me? What do I have?
You just were sitting there taking a drink when we were talking about it, so obviously nothing.
A boner.
No, I also got excited whenever they said
you have
a nit.
You have a. I don't know. You can name it because it's your body.
Yeah, we'll call it a little newt. Yeah, a little newt there.
What words is that combining? Nerd, a nerd poot.
a net. You have a net.
Yes, you do.
A nerd wet.
I don't know. Okay, all right.
A net ass nussy.
Cool. Okay, yeah.
God, I can't laugh. God. All right, anyway, I'm still recovered. All right, guys, we're going to get to Nakia here really quick. Nakia, obviously, she fled her country, but she still shows up for Wakanda. When I there's this child that leads Ramonda to Nakia before even the post-credit scene, guys. I swear to you, I saw this kid, and I was like, that kid looks just like Chadwick. It looks...
Wait a minute.
She's like... Where's Nakia? Or I can't remember what, but this kid's like this way or over here.
Oh, yeah. Leads Shuri to Nakia.
It was either yes. And like, I thought it was Rwanda that it was the queen that was looking for her.
Because in the beginning of the,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Correct.
I didn't. Okay.
Yes. And so Rwanda,
you said names and I was like, wait a minute.
I'm so sorry.
Not here anymore.
So the queen is trying to look for Nakia. And this kid, I was like, oh my God, that looks just like Chadwick. Holy shit. And even his acting, it was just a quick little thing. And I was like, he's actually a cute little actor and he can be something. Oh, Siri, shut up. Anyway, sorry. But like, I just.
Sorry, Siri.
Siri, I'm sorry. I'm tired. But we've been recording a minute. But like, I was like, oh my gosh. And then we see Nakia and she still has a loyalty for her country, even though she's doing other work outside of it. But we see at the end, this huge reveal, and even Rwanda even says, hey, there's something your brother didn't say.
Ramonda.
I'm so sorry. Ramonda says, I did the same thing you fucking did, Clinton. Oh, shit. Anyway, but she's, hey, there's even something your brother hasn't told you. You know, we see that hint in the movie. You guys remember that too, right? She said it very quick, and like, they never close that out, and we end up finding out that T'Challa.
I don't remember that.
Please, Clinton, do you remember it?
I don't know.
Holy
was
shit.
Was it earlier in the movie than
Yes. Please.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
She's like, there's something you don't know, but I need to tell you about your brother, you know? And it was almost like he's got some skeletons in the closet here, and they never get to it because it's, yeah, I think
the
that's,
reveal.
Yeah, exactly. But we get it later on. And obviously T'Challa has a son and he was raised away from the throne and it's Nakia's son. And it's, oh my God, what a perfect child actor. And we see that continue. And also not only this amazing character of T'Challa, he even says, my name is T'Challa, son of King T'Challa. And it's fucking,
what's his name when he first shows up? What does he say it is?
I can't remember,
but that is his name in the comics. Okay. T'Challa does have a kid in the comics with Storm,
mm-hmm.
from the X-Men.
Damn.
And that first name he says is the actual name of him in the comic. But I love, like I said earlier in the show, I love that they did it this way to please both sides. I'll shut up now after I say this, because this is all I wanted to say about this scene. I love that reveal. I also love the moment we got to sit with Shuri. Kudos again to Letitia Wright. The way it was with everything that had happened, right? All this movie and all the complexities. And she's taking her garments to burn them. Like her mother, she's saying, I'm letting go of the grief.
Correct.
And that moment where it's just playing like music and she's just sitting there with the wind blowing. It was like, you felt it. I don't know the cinematography. I don't know if it was the director. I don't know if it was the teacher, but I just felt it. It felt like a exhale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then when she gets to see she has a nephew, the relief that comes off of her when she smiles, it's like, oh my God, it was heart-wrenching, because it was like you felt what she was feeling here, and they did it so many different emotions in one spot, and I loved it. It was executed so well. I'll shut up.
Yes,
I loved it so much.
Well, no, and I completely agree with you, and that was where I felt like the tribute to Chadwick Boseman happened, because you sit with her, she burns the cloth, and then you see all of these images of him playing T'Challa with no sound, complete silence, and it's just such a beautiful tribute.
How you recollect memories of someone lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sound playing. I don't hear, at least in my brain, I don't hear things when I'm thinking of people that are loved, that are passed on. And just that silence of also, you're alone, you're without them, but they're still there. It just felt very real.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know what a great way to honor him at the end.
And the fact that they chose a lot of iconic moments from Black Panther, Civil War, Infinity War, where he didn't have his helmet on, so you could see his face. I thought that was very impactful as well. Like, it wasn't just that we were seeing Black Panther, but we were seeing Chadwick Boseman.
And I'm gonna actually touch base. We had a patron that messaged us, and I want to give a shout out to him. He messaged us yesterday at 6:41 p.m. Feel free to message us on our Patreon if you'd like. I loved his words here, and I just wanted to kind of throw it to him. His name is Brandon White. He said, the tribute to not only Chadwick Boseman but King T'Challa as well was definitely handled very well in this movie. You might want to bring a box of tissue, because I assure you this movie will bring you to tears. And the post-credit scene is definitely an emotional one. So to sum it up, Wakanda Forever is a movie that deserves to be seen more than twice. The king may be gone, but the Black Panther lives. And I love that line. The king may be gone, but the Black Panther lives. Brandon, shout out to you, man. Thank you for messaging us. That's what this was. Is Chadwick's gone, but he still lives. His legacy still lives.
His legacy, yes.
This movie still lives. This franchise still lives through his work and through the work of so many others that are continuing a fucking fantastic. I honestly, after Chadwick, we lost him, I was just like, yeah, well, you know, they'll make a tribute, okay. I'm more invested in Wakanda and Shuri than ever before, and that's not a knock on anything. I hope it doesn't come across as that. It's just more of a, this is such a beautiful fucking story with Chadwick and all of the groundwork he's laid. And the Black Panther lives. Black Panther lives with this movie. And I can't believe after this movie, I am so excited for the future of Wakanda. I'm so excited for Black Panther. And I don't mean that like I wasn't. I guess I just thought when Chadwick passed, everything left with it. And it's not the case. Chadwick passed. And God, what a loss it was. But man,
he left something magical.
They did. And they are grabbing the mantle and they are running with it. And that's fucking beautiful from everyone involved in this project. And I will continue to say it. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, kudos. A fucking fantastic movie. It had no right to be this damn good. And yet it is. And it was such a triumphant achievement. And what a cap to Phase 4. And I'm so excited to see what these characters and what this nation does moving forward.
I had a point yesterday after the movie where it almost left a, it was almost a, I don't know if I love that, that T'Challa named his kid T'Challa. However, now that I've sat with it and understand that this is, like you guys said, I think at the very beginning, that this is a way for them to continue the character, but not completely recast. Yeah. I think that I feel a lot better about it. But last night after I watched, I was kind of like, I think it would have been better to name him T'Chaka or, and I forget the name of the original Black Panther, but they do name him at some point in this movie. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, no, this is
very tasteful way to continue the character.
Yes. Yes. It really satisfies all sides of the argument, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question here, or qualm, or a gripe. I'm not really sure what it falls under. So in the mid-credit scene, we hear that T'Challa had prepared Prince T'Challa and Nakia for his passing, and that they had their own ceremony for him. However, when Ramonda first goes to Haiti and sees Nakia, she says, "I was surprised not to see you at the funeral."
Yeah.
Why was that communication not?
Because she knew about the kid, but they chose privately to have their own ceremony.
That could have just been between the three of them. It could have been T'Challa, Prince T'Challa, and Nakia. It could not have involved anyone else.
And it was probably in Haiti.
Ceremony after he died?
No. He knew he was dying. And so they had their own ceremony, celebration kind of thing.
Before he died.
That's how I took it.
I could even see it after he died too. But it's also, this is between the three of us. It doesn't have to involve, the queen does not have to be aware of what we're doing to honor our T'Challa's death as well. You know, I don't involve my mother-in-law in every decision I make. It's my whole point is, and I'm not trying to sound like that. It's just more of a, that's for the three of us to figure out and to decide and own.
Mm-hmm.
We don't owe anyone, especially the kingdom that we're trying to avoid and to try to bring this child away from, explanation of that. You know what I mean? Because that's why, well, I'm surprised I didn't see you there. Well, wouldn't the child have to come along as well? Or how?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's a line in this.
That was the goal, to keep him in Haiti.
Right.
Fair point. Fair fucking point. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how my brain
realized it. I would have said but even still, I would have at least reached out to Ramonda and been like, "Hey, you know why I can't come. I'm very sorry. I'm thinking about you."
They have all this tech. They don't have telephones though.
Yeah, that's very true.
No, they've got beads.
Yeah. Guys, that is our, any final notes before we head on out of here so we can, we're going to call it.
Just do it, Brandon. Don't ask her if she has more notes. Of course she has.
Because she's going to interrupt me if I don't. She's going to say, wait, hold on. I've got four things that we didn't talk about in between my notes here. So I've learned not to fight it.
Don't fight it. I only have six things that we haven't covered. That I just want to touch on real quick. All right. Real quick.
But it's not going to be impactful. It's just bullet points.
Most of them are just things that I noticed that you guys apparently didn't notice. First of all, I loved the fact, and we haven't touched on this at fucking all, love the fact that I had no clue that Val and Killmonger were going to be on this. We did touch on Killmonger.
We didn't touch on Val at all. I will say real quick to that point, the only thing that I am proud of myself for this, because when Ross says his boss, my brain immediately said Val for some reason.
Oh, congratulations. Because when I saw her face on screen, I was like, what the
Well, I thought that. I had no clue. That was the first thought I had. But then I didn't say it out loud because it was just us. But I was like, that's too far-fetched. Why would Ross be working for Val? But then turns out. Anyway.
Wild. Seeing her on screen, because that was one of the surprises. I had no fucking clue that she was going to be in this movie. Also didn't know about Killmonger.
No, Killmonger's, I thought we touched base a tiny bit on it, and I apologize.
Yeah, we did.
But I will say Killmonger's reveal was absolutely fantastic, and the conflict that it showed within Shuri, both in the costume and the ideology as well. Fucking awesome. Loved it.
Okay, something else that I loved that we haven't hit yet. I loved that we revisited the waterfall. It didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. Whenever the ship comes down and M'Baku comes out, instead of, in my head, it was like, oh yeah, Shuri just took on the mantle and didn't ask if there were any challengers. But just seeing that scene again, the costumes and the hype, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it was,
was cool to revisit.
It was, and kept that, the same culture and the same, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like the different tribes had different costumes and different colors.
But Wakanda kept going. Wakanda still kept going. You know what I mean? Like that's, hey, we're still here. We're not going away. And I love that, hey, you know, not one person defines Wakanda, but we define Wakanda. And yet we still honor Chadwick. We love the memory of T'Challa, but we're still the kingdom. They did that so well. We talk about it numerous times, and I'm not going to go over it in depth again, but the interweaving of honoring T'Challa / Chadwick in such a meaningful and powerful way, but also honoring the what they've built in Wakanda and continuing that and thriving and making sure it continues to stay a focal point in the MCU. That's a scary line to weave, and they did it so fucking expertly. And that's a great little microcosm of what you're talking about, a little silo of what you're saying, Emmy, is that they're continuing the traditions because they're still here and they're still going. And yeah, sorry, just a little.
And I feel like they even almost amped it up a little bit. Honestly, I'm not completely sure what the purpose of that scene was, because M'Baku steps out instead of Shuri and just says, like, I want to challenge, but Shuri's not there to challenge for the heart-shaped herb. So I'm not sure what that scene served, just nostalgia. I have the same
confusion. Yeah, I don't, unless he was representing her, or he was,
I think maybe making that might be it.
Or it being a joke, like he's being funny about it.
I don't think anybody would gather there if it was a joke.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was her proxy because she was off doing other things.
I think that's how I took it.
Yeah. And it was nice to just see it again. Mm-hmm. And like the tradition survived. Okay. I'm going to try to do this I've only got three left. Four left. Shit. Sorry. Five. Oh, fuck. All right. There's lesbians in the background. Ayo, I think.
Yeah. I did notice that too.
Yeah. Lesbians in the background. The hoop game that they have in.
Also, lesbians in the background is cool. There are probably new listeners on here. It's cool they had representation of lesbians. Yes.
Honestly,
I hate that they were in the background, but
I love lesbians in the foreground too.
I would have rather them been in the foreground. The hoop game that they play in Underwater World was like a true. Thank you. I don't know why I can't remember that. Was like a true actual like mine hoop game.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Subtitles changed colors based on the language that was being spoken. So white was French, yellow was Wakandan, and blue was the blue people. So I thought that was interesting. All right, Martin Freeman's American voice is the same as Jason Bateman. Every time that Martin Freeman spoke in this movie, Everett Ross, every time he spoke, all I heard was Jason Bateman.
I just love that this is stuff we have to cover.
Have
like,
to.
Like this is right. Like a must before we, mm-hmm. we close out recording.
Yeah, because I heard it the entire time. Okay, and this is the one that I am most excited about because I saw it in the theater and I have not seen it anywhere else. This is an Avengers exclusive. And I've not seen it anywhere else only because I've not watched anything else. So the license plate, whenever Everett Ross is arrested and Okoye comes and saves him and says like, oh, my favorite colonizer in chains, whatever. The license plate is CB112976. I saw that and I was like, comic book, CB comic book. And then probably about 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, Chadwick Boseman. That's his birthday.
I didn't know it was his birthday. That's awesome.
That is
so cool. The license plate for the police escort was CB112976. And I checked it as soon as the credits came on. And so, yeah, his birthday is coming up on the 29th.
Happy birthday, King.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. That's all.
All right, guys. That was our Black Panther Wakanda Forever review. Obviously, we hope you enjoyed it. This has been a very in-depth and almost emotional discussion of Black Panther Wakanda Forever. But this is also something we've really just been invested in care so much about. So we just appreciate you joining us. Guys, if you want to support the show, you want to continue the show from a great way to support us is patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. You can help our show in a few ways. $1 gets you a shout out on the show. You heard the shout outs earlier, even if I butchered a name. $3 gets you shout out access to our Discord and our Minecraft server. Minecraft, we play Minecraft on there. We have houses on there. You can jump right into a game and hang out with the Avengers. And Discord, we have voice chats. We're talking with our listeners regularly on our Discord, and we have a great community in there as well. Yes, Amy.
Hey, speaking of Minecraft, we were supposed to record this on Sunday at 8, and now we're recording it earlier. So I think we're on track to
I won't be able to stream it like I would normally.
Oh, no. We're not going to
stream it. But hey, anything. we're going to be on Minecraft Sunday night potentially.
At 8 to take on the
Ender Dragon. With
Wither.
The Ender Dragon is potentially here. So $5 tiers gets you a shout out to our Discord, or excuse me, shout out on our show Discord Minecraft server, and $5 gets you 2 bonus episodes every single month. You get a movie review exclusive to our Patreon. We just finished the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, Return of the King. We have all those reviews available, as well as 15 other reviews. So we have like 15, 16, 17 movie reviews exclusive on our Patreon, and that's about 2 hours each lengthwise, so you have 30 plus hours of content. If you subscribe for $5 today, you can listen to all of our exclusive movie reviews. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie review, Deadpool 2, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. There's a lot of really, really fun stuff. Lord of the Rings, the entire trilogy. Check it out there. You will not find those on podcast platforms. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, where we have those exclusive movie reviews for $5. You get all that, the library, and each additional month you get a new review. $10, you get all that. You get unedited episodes, and you get a pre-show, kind of a fun little thing, and you get a watch party with us. It's a lot of fun. We get to hang out once a month. We get to hang out with our patrons. You join us on Zoom. You get to talk with us face-to-face. Zoom, you turn your camera on. You can turn your voice on. We watch a movie together on Disney+. We have a lot of good times, and we get to hang out with our patrons. It's one of our favorite days of the month. $10, hang out with us for 2 or 3 hours every single month. And it's a lot of fun. So patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Hey, if you can't support it monetarily, you're saying, hey, I don't have the money. I really can't make it. Guys, a quick way to support the show is 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your podcast platform that accepts reviews. leave us a 5-star rating. It really, really does. We spend hours and hours and hours every single month on this podcast of ours. We're just asking for 5 seconds of your time. Leave a review, leave a written one. That makes us smile. We enjoy those. But a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice gets us eyes and ears on this show of ours. And it really means the world. So like I said, we spend a lot of time. If you can't support us any other way, I promise you, it really does go a long way. Subscribing to our podcast, liking this podcast, and leaving a review. So that is it. I apologize for the long-winded, but Black Panther Wakanda Forever, what an episode. I think it was an excellent job. Clinton and Emmy, I appreciate you guys and all your work on this one. So before we head on out of here, we have a credits name to get to. Emmy, what is our credits name? Oh, we got two. She is throwing up the deuce right when I said that. So two credits names before we get there. What is our credits names before we head on out of here?
All right. So the first one is VFX production coordinator, Harry Osborn.
Osborn?
It's Harry Osborn.
Please, as long as it's not as bad as The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Harry Osborn. I'm okay.
Harry Osborn.
Actually, I like that one.
Accent.
Actually, I like that one more than the original Spider-Man trilogy. So why am I complaining? Anyway, good stuff. All right.
And then the other one is on a more serious note. They did have in the credits the Chadwick Boseman Foundation for the Arts. If you have the means to donate, please do, because I know it's a wonderful foundation. And it would be in honor of Chadwick Boseman and his work that contributed to this movie being made prior to this movie even being written. And so, yeah, that was another in the credits, the Chadwick Boseman Foundation for the Arts.
Well said, Emmy. Well said. All right, guys, we are going to head out of here. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, indeed. It is still going. Fucking wonderful. Cannot wait. Guys, I think this movie compared to the first. I really do. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I actually think this was on par with the very first Black Panther, and that's a huge fucking compliment. So we're going to head on out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. Clinton, Emmy, any final words before we call it an evening?
Ivan Bay.
Wakanda Forever.
Ivan Bay.